the American dream. To his last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by ADT Security. For over 140 years, your first line of defense.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you. The men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there. And it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Happy New Year.
Same to you, bud.
Man, I'll tell you what. I think everybody in the country is hunkered down right now.
Yep. My cousin put a video on Facebook.
Yeah.
She lives in Florida.
Oh.
It's snowing.
Right.
Karma. Yeah. Karma, baby.
Yeah. It's like, where do you even vacation anymore?
Right.
You know, where do you go?
Yeah. I don't know how many times she's posted things, you know, that. You know, it's 80 degrees
80,
here,
yeah, right.
72 I'm here.
Not in my pool. And,
I hope you're not too cold.
Yeah.
Karma. Goes around, comes around.
Hey, the only people that are really doing some great stuff this time of year, especially Fisher House. And, of course, we've talked about Fisher House a lot in the program. And Carrie Childress has been on with us. We get the big guns today.
We do.
Dave Coker, president of Fisher House, is on with us. Dave, how are you?
Oh, I am blessed. Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you so much. You guys, first of all, let's talk about this milestone that Fisher House has hit.
It seems like every time we talk to Fisher House, someone from Fisher House, there's a new milestone.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's exciting to see. We are always looking at those milestones. We've done 75 houses. With 3 houses we opened in December, we hit the milestone of being able to accommodate more than 1,000 families on any given night. And in the next 7 years, we anticipate increasing that by another 50%.
Wow.
Man, that's...
Think of that, Randy.
You guys are growing faster than McDonald's.
1,000 families a night.
Well, and these are families, and maybe you can tell us this too, Dave. What would happen to those families if Fisher House were not there?
Well, they would do what they have done in the past. They would find a way to survive. When you get that call and you learn that a loved one is wounded, ill, or injured, you want two things. You want the best health care possible, and the military and VA health systems do a great job of providing world-class health care. But you also want to be there. And that many times is a challenge because the VA doesn't have the resources. The military's resources are always strained in terms of there are a lot of people who want to be in the guest house or the Navy Lodge or the Gateway Inn, whatever resources are available. And many of the families were so privileged to serve, even if they had room, couldn't afford to be there.
Yeah, and so the expense, just getting there.
Exactly, and that's the other thing the Fisher House Foundation does. They help out with transportation.
Well, we've learned that life happens, and when it does, you're going to do anything you have to do to be a part. And you know, the last thing we want is for somebody to have to go into serious debt in order to support their loved one. And this is a chance for us to provide a resource that's going to help them to get through a difficult time. On average, a family is with us for 9 days. And that's 30,000 families a year, what their average is. It's not uncommon to have somebody with us for months or years. And in fact, our longest length of stay was 3 years.
Really?
Wow.
And that was a young man who was riding his motorcycle, collided with a truck, and was on the losing end. His mother was his advocate, and she fought to get him in the VA program at one of the level one polytraumas. There are five in the country. She got him into the one at the James Haley VA hospital in Tampa. And she worked with him, and they learned how to communicate by blinking their eyes, and he regained a little bit of movement in his right hand. But he wasn't able to come back to who he was.
Wow.
The gift she received is she won't have to worry, did I give up too early? What if I had only given it another month? They have moved to another part of the country and continue to get care at the VA. But again, we're privileged to have been a part of that process. We wish everybody a full recovery, but sometimes that's not the script that life writes.
Sure.
And I think it's important that we make special note of this, that we can't discount and we can't gloss over the significance of having families together in these types of circumstances. I mean,
just think about that circumstance. I mean, if that young man had been by himself for 3 years,
exactly,
you know,
would he have the
or not by himself? But you know what I mean.
Would he have any desire to get better?
Right.
Exactly. So what Fisher House accomplishes on behalf of others is just astounding and amazing.
Well, and I'm just looking at some of these notes here too, Dave. The Fisher Foundation has saved military and veterans families more than $400 million.
Wow.
In out-of-pocket costs.
So if there's any charity that anyone wants to donate to.
Exactly, right.
The Fisher House has never received, to my knowledge anyway, and I've been in this game a long time, a negative reference or
citation. Charity Navigators, always 4 stars.
Yeah. So if you're wondering what to do, if you want to donate to something, donate to Fisher House.
Hey, and Dave, also talk about some of those hero miles, because you can donate your miles and your points too, right?
Well, we've learned a lot from the people who've graced our houses. And one of the things we learned were what some of the barriers are. And one of the big barriers, especially with when we had so many combat casualties coming back, these people were receiving treatment for months. And the family gets the phone call, they get there right away, and as soon as their loved one stabilized, they say, you know what, I'm not sure if I left the oven on or not. Maybe I need to go home and check. The way the government benefits would work is they would fly you out there and you'd ask, well, hey, I need to go back home and check on something. Can you get me back there? They'd say, absolutely, we can do that. They'd fly them back and their benefits would stop. And life goes on. They still have the mortgage payment. They still want to come back.
Right.
But from that point on, it was at their expense. So we formed a partnership with the airlines, and we have, provided over, I want to say, 70,000 airline tickets to not only get families to their loved ones' bedside, but also to let some of these injured soldiers, airmen, Marines, participate in other programs that other charities have that are going to help them on their journey to recovery.
Amazing stuff. Hey Dave, how did you get so lucky and so blessed to be able to be associated with Fisher House?
Well, I'm retired Army. I was a healthcare administrator, and I was stationed at Fitzsimmons Army Medical Center. And we received the gift of something called a Fisher House, and I didn't know what one was. So I called, and they told me the purpose and what the gift was for, and I said, you know, that's something I want to be a part of. And so I was a volunteer when that house opened, and I formed a local support group for that house, and learned that there was going to be a national foundation supporting it, and had made the decision to retire from the Army and was fortunate enough to be selected, and that was, gosh, that was some 23 years ago.
Oh, man.
Man, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I'm almost halfway through.
Yeah. they'll let you know when your term is up, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with the National Defense right after this word from Farmers Insurance. When you're dealing with life's ups and downs, it helps to know the ins and outs of insurance. Farmers Insurance has been sharing practical insurance knowledge for more than 89 years. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
National Defense is made possible by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Dave Coker, president of Fisher House, is on with us. Hey, you know what? The other thing about Fisher House with 75 houses now, and up to 1,000 families per night. And these are actually bigger houses now, right?
Well, again, we always want to make improvements on our houses. When Zachary Fisher started building the houses, and the reason it's called Fisher House is Zach wrote a personal check for the first 20-plus houses, and he proved the value of the program. When he passed away, the foundation took over responsibility for building additional houses. And we were building two and three houses at certain locations. And being semi-smart people, we said, well, if we've got to build two or three houses, do we need to make them bigger? Mm. And so what was a 5,000-square-foot house, we built as large as a 16,800-square-foot house that can accommodate 20 families.
Where is that one?
And, well, we have several across the country. The level one polytrauma centers need a larger house.
Wow.
You've got Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. They need a larger house.
Sure.
At the DeBakey VA Medical Center in Houston, Texas, they have such demand. They have 320 suite houses.
Wow.
Mm. And we want to make sure we're building the right house, meeting the need as best we can. When Zach started this, healthcare was much different. If you
sure.
needed chemotherapy, that was done as an inpatient. And nowadays, it's very rare that it's done on inpatient status. We learned, I remember a visit to Walter Reed, and it was early on in the war. The first time that the wounded soldier would come to visit the house was when he was out on pass for a couple of hours. And they would want to see where their wife was staying. And this one soldier was brought in. He was a double amputee. And I heard the other wives say, you know, hey, Becky, I know you've got an upstairs room. We can get a sheet and carry your husband upstairs so you can have some alone time.
Wow.
Well, you hear that once and you start putting elevators in the house.
Right. Yeah.
And you make every room wheelchair accessible. In the early houses, we had two accessible suites out of eight. Now every room is accessible.
Great. Well, you guys just keep doing the right thing and getting better at it and just providing so much support. I just like Jerry said, if you're wondering where to donate, Fisher House is the place.
Yep.
If you go to fisherhouse.org. And Dave, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate the stories and we'll have you guys on very soon.
And say hello to our good friend Gary.
Absolutely.
Will do. Thank you so much for this opportunity. All too often, we're a best-kept secret, and you're helping us change that.
No, we
love doing it.
Absolutely. Man, thank you so much, Dave.
Okay, take care.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense. No matter where you're headed, Farmers Insurance can help you plan for the insurance you want. With practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience, at Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And this is exciting,
Jerry. Yes, I'm really excited.
I mean, we've had a lot of great guests on this program, but this is very exciting.
Yeah, we can honestly say we never had a president of a nation on.
Exactly. Yeah.
But today is the day.
We've had a former president of the nation on.
Yep.
But Navajo Nation President Russell Begay is with us, and Happy New Year, Mr. President.
Well, Happy New Year, and it is an honor always to dress our men and women uniform. We have quite a number of Native Americans that do serve, so it is an honor to be on your show today. Thank you.
Yes, you do. Navajo Nation, it's got quite the history when it comes to serving our country.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that I'm so glad about having you on today, because I don't think a lot of people really understand how important Native Americans have been in our military and defending our country. I mean, if we can, Mr. President, why don't we start talking about the Code Talkers? I mean, a lot of people have heard that term and they know about the movie and different things like that. But boy, that saved our bacon, didn't it?
Absolutely. I tell you, you know, one of the things about Code Talkers and others is that before we became citizens of the United States and some of the tribal groups out there, is that they volunteered to serve in the United States Armed Forces. And also before we had to vote even, our military, our warriors were volunteering to be in the U.S. military force. So, and the Navajo Code Talkers, they were just right out of high school, mainly in my area where I was raised. And so I know quite a number of the Code Talkers. Many of them are my relatives. And so just really proud that the Code Talkers were called upon the language, actually. You know, it's interesting that it was a non-Navajo missionary to Navajos that made that proposal to a military official, saying, you know, Navajo language is very difficult, and why don't you consider that to be used as a code to send messages within the military? And so that proposal gained root and interest, and so the military entertained that. They recruited 29 Navajos initially, and many of them were just right out of high school, and they were taken down to California to camp out there, and they went through this training. And what is remarkable to me is that the Navajo Code Talkers, they coded the language itself. And so they used words like turkey and turtle and bees and things like that. But all of those words represented something, an aircraft, a movement, troop movement, things like that. And so if I heard the Navajo Code Talkers sending messages, I would not know what they're talking about, even though it's my language, even though I speak it. It's my first language. I wouldn't know what they're saying. Someone had to decode it for me also. So it was very highly protected. We didn't know.
Wow.
No Navajo knew that this was taking place.
Wow.
That these messages, it's the way it was utilized, it cut down on the time. For example, they would say that in regular coding, it takes quite a number of minutes, quite a number of time. But in Navajo, it was down to seconds. So that when a message came in and they sent it out to the field, or the field would send it in to a ship, and they would decode it, and then give it to the admiral, to the captain, whoever's running the ship, and they would shoot the missiles out. In the old ways, by the time all of those messages were decoded and put in place and approval given, the enemy's already gone. I mean, they're already gone to another site, another location, so they just was ineffective. But with the Navajo code, the minute it came in, within just a second, it was decoded, it was sent, and the missiles were underway. And so it became a very, very effective tool throughout the Pacific Basin. And like I said, none of us knew about this. No one knew about it in the country that our Navajo warriors, that Marines, they're very proud of being Marines, and many of our people do serve in the Marines. But they were so you know, they were they had served in this manner, and that they won the war. It's the Navajo language. We're so proud of our people, the ability to speak the language. So yes, they won the war, and they were very effective in this communication.
Yeah, their contributions. Here's the thing: their contributions were so significant. You know, the survivors, the relative few that are left, I mean, they're an American treasure.
Right.
But it's a shame that the American public as a whole didn't know the story of the Navajo Code Talkers sooner.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm willing to bet that most Americans had never heard of them until the movie with Nicolas Cage came out.
Right.
And it's just too bad, because they have earned and deserve a special place.
I wondered, too, Mr. President, we're talking to Navajo Nation President Russell Begay. What kind of, if you know this, what kind of reception did they get after the war, like immediately after the war? What kind of reception did they get from the American public?
Nothing.
Mm.
Well, that's...
It was secret. And it was classified. Mm. They couldn't talk about themselves. They couldn't talk about what they did, their contribution. It was a highly classified, military secret. So no one knew about it. They couldn't even talk about what they did, and they couldn't talk about the code. So it was classified, and it was a secret of the U.S. military. And so it was something they didn't talk about. And even the children, grandchildren would tell me, you know, I didn't know grandpa did this. I didn't know that our warriors did this. We didn't know that this happened until recently. So it's really amazing that even the code talkers themselves kept this a secret, didn't talk to anyone about it. Then talk about what they did. They all the children knew and the tribe knew was that they served in World War II, and that was it.
Wow.
And so they didn't get any reception. They didn't get any heroes welcome, those type of things. Nothing like that happened because it was classified.
And it's
that's a shame.
You know, Randy, when you look back at certainly the contributions of the Code Talkers, but in every war and conflict we've had, Native Americans have sacrificed their lives, their bodies, to protect our nation. And what I've always wondered about, because, you know, you got to put yourself in their shoes. Let's face it, our nation doesn't have the best history when it comes to treatment of our Native Americans.
Right.
And but yet these young men and women are compelled to serve. Where's that patriotism come from?
I tell you, it's America is Indian land, Indian country. We have been here for centuries, and this is our land. I mean, we know the mountains, the valleys, the lakes. We've enjoyed all of our ancestors. They've lived here, and so America is Indian country. And let me tell you, every Native American in North America will defend this country. Mm. And since we are in the United States of America, this is our land. And we will fight, we will defend, we will die to defend this land, this country. And we are so grateful that we live under a government, under a flag that really is about freedom. And if I know there are indigenous people in the Soviet Union, there are indigenous people in other places, and they can't say the same thing. And because we are in America, the land of the free, the brave and the free, is that we will defend freedom because we have always been that. Native American people have always been, not under rule, not ruled by dictators, but by warriors. And so we've maintained that. And in fact, we know that the American Constitution is based partly on Native American Constitution. And so they borrowed many of the words, many of the concept and the philosophy that Native Americans hold dear and will fight to death for it, is written into the Constitution itself in the United States government. And so we've contributed, made that contribution also. And because this is our land, this is our country, our men and women, they are so proud to volunteer to be the armed forces in any of the branches. And so we really are great defenders of this nation, and we will continue to do so into from century to century, and we will stand and fight for the freedom that we have always enjoyed through the centuries. And so to live in the United States of America is a privilege, and because the philosophy of this nation, we are just right in step with it. And we, so as a result, our people are proud to be in this country, to be in the armed forces, to defend freedom that we enjoy. And I think people don't realize what that means unless they come out of a communist government or out of a dictatorial government, and where you couldn't go anywhere. You had to, where there were so many rules and regulations that controlled your movements, your speech, and things like that. And so, but in this country, I tell you, freedom is something that we take for granted.
Absolutely.
And we should never ever do that. And so this is what the Code Talkers fought for, and every one of the Navajo warriors, men and women, this is what they fight for.
Prime examples, man, in words of inspiration, because what I'm hearing is, doesn't matter where the threat's coming from, external or from within,
yep,
the Native Americans are going to defend us.
Well, and the interesting thing to me, too, Mr. President, we're talking to Navajo Nation President Russell Begay here on the National Defense, is that, okay, so the Navajo Nation is, what, over 300,000 strong at this point?
Yeah.
That's correct.
And within that body, you've got a lot of individuals with different personalities and different everything. How can you be so unified in a notion or a belief as it seems the Navajo are?
It's culture.
Well, culture's, I'm sure, at the root of it, but it's just amazing.
Which most Americans don't possess any type of culture.
Right, yeah.
You know, here on the nation, politics is here as it is other places, and we'll fight about issues, we'll fight about different concepts, different ideas, and we'll fight over who to support, who not to support. And so we'll have a lot of disagreement. But I tell you, when it comes to defending this country, we all come together. And our warriors all pick up their arms, and they will march side by side to defend this nation to the death. And so we may disagree on so many things. We may like different things. We may not like certain individuals. But I tell you, when the warrior spirit is called, all of those are set aside. All those are pushed aside. All of those becomes minimized, and all of those are just pushed aside and they will stand side by side. They will defend each other's back. They will protect each other, and they will go into any war to defend this nation. And so it's about defending who we are, defending this land, defending this country, defending the freedom that we enjoy, the nation. This is our nation. I mean, there's nowhere else we can go. This is it. We will live and die here, and our children, great-grandchildren, for centuries, they will be here, and they will be doing the same thing, picking up arms when we need to defend who we are as a nation.
Wow,
and
man.
So, emphasis, yes.
That is, you know, some people in Congress need to listen to those
exactly.
words.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of people living in this country
yeah.
enjoying the freedoms we have. Need to listen to those words.
Exactly.
Because especially now. Especially now.
I tell you, when we see a flag burning, it burns in our soul and our spirit.
Mm.
And because every one of us, Navajos, Native American, you know, it's that flag means something to us.
Okay,
it's
I want to be a Navajo.
Can I join? How do you join? Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Navajo President Russell Begay right after this on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller, Jerry Newberry, and Navajo Nation President Russell Begay. You talked a little bit about the pride of your people, and I will say that in this part of the country, we're based in Kansas City, Missouri. Potawatomi tribe is a pretty large tribe here, and I got to see firsthand when I visited them a few years ago, a lot of their original language is going away. You know, the kids aren't...
Not the Navajos.
Well, but the Potawatomi have now started classes...
Oh, they have.
Yeah, yeah, to teach the children and...
Keep it alive.
Yeah, keep it alive. And yeah. And it was just so great to see that kind of pride in their language, and which is something I'm sure you guys feel too, right?
Yes, and a lot of it comes from policies. Federal policies, where there was a federal policy in place up to 1982 that me as a student, I could not speak my language. I was prohibited by federal laws.
Really?
To not speak
yeah.
my language. That's correct.
Oh, man.
And when I was in school, and because Navajo is my first language, I would say something in Navajo immediately. I either had a soap squirted in my mouth to wash it out,
wow.
or I would have my hand spanked with a rod, or they would put a little circle on a chalkboard, and I would put my nose there and have it there for like an hour.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
Me, personally, and like many of my people also went through the same thing, is that we were told by the federal government, by the federal policy, that we could not speak our language and in school.
I had no idea.
And so that's same language.
That's
that
right out of the 19th century.
Right, right.
That's right out of the 19th century kind of stuff. I mean,
that's right.
Unbelievable.
That's right. But I tell you what, I'm so proud to see our little children playing in the yard speaking Navajo.
Yeah.
Or in school. Now that we are able to speak our language, that prohibition, that law has been removed, it's been changed. And under the Bush administration, the first Bush administration, so we're really appreciative of that removal. And so our people and our children are so proud. When they speak Navajo, they may struggle with it here and there, but our people will stand up, applaud them, and thank them that the language is alive and appreciated. And so we're really, our children are going to carry this forward to their children and generations to come, because it has brought back a lot of pride. A lot of our teachings is encased in the words that we use,
sure,
the language that we have. And so those teachings are not coming back. Being proud to be who we are, being proud as Indian Nation, being proud that we live in the land of the free. And so it's all within the teaching of our language. We're really grateful that we now are able to see our language being taught at places like Stanford University, UCLA, and other institutions across this nation, both in New Mexico, Arizona, Utah area. So colleges, universities are teaching, high schools are teaching our language, and our own people are really reinstilling in our children the ability to speak the language. So it's alive and well, and it's growing.
I had no idea. I had no idea that was in place. That's terrible. Hey, it has been such a pleasure talking to you, Mr. President. We'd love to have you back on, and yeah, maybe even do a show from your area. That'd be fantastic.
That would be great, and if time allows, we'll do it with a co-talker.
That would be
wonderful,
outstanding. Yeah. Thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And Happy New Year, and thank you for all the things that you guys do for National Defense Radio. So God bless you. God bless great nation.
Thank you so much. We'll be back here next week with a brand new edition of the National Defense.